All right, it may have been the best weekend of college football in my life. I don't think that's any kind of exaggeration. The results of this weekend, whether you're watching Iowa, Penn State, whether it was Texas, Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry, or what happened to the number one team in the country against a former Nick Saban assistant, the first loss by Saban against a former assistant in his career, and the first loss to an unranked team in 100 games against unranked teams. The University of Alabama, Ole Miss, Arkansas, spectacular. And that's not even mentioning how excited Vols fans were to see what their offense was capable of against a bad South Carolina team this past Saturday. So much to get to over the course of this past college football weekend. So we bring in one of the best in the business. There is nobody that you should trust more when it comes to the X's and O's of the world of college football than Michael Felder of Stadium. At In the Bleachers is where you follow him. It's always good to have him a part of the proceedings. Mike, what was sweeter over the weekend, or I guess over the course of the football weekend, your lime tequila wings that I saw on the timeline, or what Lamar Jackson did as a, of course, a running back last night?
Listen, we always got to give props to LJ8, right? Like, that dude's an absolute baller. But I do think that the wings were they came through pretty strong. You throw some agave in there, a little bit of lime zest, you really get some good flavor popping.
You're just polluting my timeline with food pornography every weekend, and it drives me nuts. But these wings are incredible. At In the Bleachers is where you can follow Mike's cooking adventures along, and as he live tweets basically every game of the college football Saturday all at once. It's quite confusing, but if you can follow a train of thought, you can find out where he's going at any given point. You know, if you have like 17 screens in front of you.
I want to know when Mike's going to combine the two, a college football cooking show.
Listen, I pitched it plenty of times. It's up to – that's up to whoever buys the shows, right? I'm like any other person out there pitching a pilot.
Yeah, it's exactly right. This is a failure on management and not a failure on the creative process. Michael Felder here with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, so Mike, just from the biggest story in college football this weekend, Alabama going down to A&M, and the upset is fantastic. It's, you know, it's a shame that for A&M fans, they struggled as badly as they did to beat teams like Colorado, and that's what made the result so much more surprising for me. But nothing more so than Jimbo Fisher's play calling in that game. It was not just boring 5-yard outs the entire time. They found ways to maximize their quarterback, and it's as creative a game plan as I've seen from Jimbo all year. What did you see on the field between A&M and Alabama's defense?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with respect to creativity, right? It's creativity, but it's also aggressiveness. And they were aggressive, pushing the ball down the field, making Alabama have to cover, you know, not 20 yards and down or 17 yards and down. They made Alabama have to cover, you know, 35 yards, 34 yards, 44 yards. They had made them have to cover that depth down the field, which helps open up the run game, which helps because it takes the safeties out of the run game. And then it helps open up the passing game because, in theory, every three deep zone or quarters coverage or two deep coverage or even man coverage, like in theory, they all work really well when you're in that space from 20 to 25 yards down because everything's compact. That's why things get really hard in the red zone for a lot of teams because it's really compacted. But then when you extend that, when you're in the green zone and you extend that to 40 yards, to 45 yards, and even if you're not throwing it to that guy every time, he's running that route. Now all of a sudden you have bigger holes, bigger pockets of space, and we saw A&M take advantage of that. So I thought it was really cool to see. I'm very proud of Jimbo Fisher not doing what he's done most of the time when he played Alabama, both at A&M and then obviously at FSU, which was kind of sit on his hands, right? Like we saw him try to play keep away. And I've heard people say that, well, the best thing you can do is just kind of play ball control. No, you have to get aggressive. You got to get this game into a spot that makes Nick Saban uncomfortable. And for me, the moment that crystallized, oh, Alabama's worried about losing, it wasn't because they were down by 14 points. It's because they dialed up a punt block.
Yeah.
They dialed up a punt block, and they had to have that punt block to get back in the game. And that's when you know that Nick Saban is worried, oh, we might lose. Did the same thing against Clemson, not a punt block, but an onside kick. Those things take hours of film study to figure out how to dial them up. They do work, but it's also something that he goes into his bag for when he is worried about losing.
It was like shocking to me to see Nick Saban actually have to go into his bag for something like that. It's been so long since we've seen Nick Saban, you know, be legitimately pushed in that way. It's what made that win so much more impressive to me, Mike, because it wasn't anything weird about it. It was just a team that went out and played a better football game against Alabama. It was a straight-up loss to a backup quarterback who had struggled pretty mightily the past couple of weeks. But as you said, the aggressiveness and the creativity of the offensive game plan. And then there was what was happening along Alabama's offensive line really stood out to me, because they seemed to struggle with such simple execution in any other instance for an Alabama coached team and with the talent that they possess. What did you make of that up front?
Well, look, this is an issue that he knows he has, right? This is an issue that Nick Saban knows that he has. He knows that he has it because we saw against Florida they only ran for, 98 yards?
Yeah.
And that was embarrassing to him, and that made him mad. So what did they do? Southern Miss, over 200. Then we see the Ole Miss game, over 200. The Ole Miss game, they focus in on this 12 personnel package, one running back, two tight ends, where they include Kendall Randolph in the game as technically, or I don't even know if this is technically or reality, but he is a tight end. Reality is he's another offensive lineman. So they ran six offensive linemen out there plus Cameron Latu. I don't know if anybody went back and watched the tape. Not a lot of Cameron Latu in the game for Alabama this week, which is also why they weren't able to just kind of play their own ball control style, because that 12 personnel they ran was Latu, who's a very good blocker, and then obviously Randolph, who's an actual offensive lineman, I think a four-star offensive lineman recruit, who they're playing as a tight end. And it's interesting to see the frustration there, and you can talk about it. They forced the issue with Ole Miss, and I thought, okay, he's trying to prove to people that he can run. But then he got into this game, got down early, and had to kind of rely on not just Bryce Young, but his offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, and then obviously rely on their ability to not just call plays, but find plays. And that's not a position he likes to be in. And I think that's something that we don't talk about enough when we talk about football. Making the other coach uncomfortable is it's so critical to having success, because when the other coach gets uncomfortable, then they make mistakes. Then they start to act out. Then they start to try to improvise, or they lose control. And control is something that is so important to these coaches, that we all know they're kind of megalomaniac control freaks. And when you make them lose control, which is what A&M was able to do to Alabama, which is what Lane Kiffin wanted to do but wasn't able to, when you make them lose control, you have a better opportunity to win the game.
The popcorn was not quite ready for Ole Miss against Alabama. So let's let's talk. I love Lane Kiffin so much for leaning into that the way that he did. I want to talk about Ole Miss here in just a second, and Lane Kiffin, given that that's who Tennessee will play this weekend, Mike. But Lucas has a question for you about Alabama.
Yeah, how pissed are people going to be when Nick Saban lifts the college football playoff trophy at the end of the season?
Oh, they're going to be really mad.
Yeah.
And that's something I've kind of hit on a couple times, right, is people talk about chaos, right? And they talk about, we're going to get fresh blood in the playoff. What's different?
Nothing.
Realistically, what's different, right? We've got the only substitution that we have is we've subbed out Clemson and put Iowa in there. Other than that, what's different? People thought Penn State was a contender. Guess what? They're still a contender. They went out there in. Ohio State, people thought that, oh, they lose to Oregon, they're done. No, guess what? They went out there in. Oregon, as a Pac-12 contender, they went out there in. This is all – it's all the same. It's all still the same, which means that, yes, Alabama winning it all is very real. Is a very real possibility. And I do think that Georgia is an interesting matchup because they're a different type of football team than A&M. And more specifically, I do wonder about their – aggressive nature or makeup. They did a really good job this last weekend against Auburn of forcing themselves essentially to push the ball down the field, but I don't know if they're going to continue to do that, or they're going to do that against a team they feel a little bit more intimidated or more equally matched with.
Which is ironic, because what I was going to say about this college football season so far is the only thing that feels different is Georgia hasn't had a big choke moment yet. And who do they play this weekend, Mike?
Yeah, Kentucky.
Kentucky. That's going to be
– they're good.
It's so much fun. I could not – I mean, LSU was wretched this year anyway, but the way that Kentucky just absolutely bullied them throughout the course of that game, I mean, I'm sure Penn State would love to have Will Levis back in Happy Valley as the backup quarterback after the way that their backup quarterback just could not get anything done against Iowa. What do you make of Georgia and Kentucky this weekend?
I want to see how tough, like literally, it's like, are you tough enough for Kentucky, right? Because this is going to be a knockdown, drag out. And that's kind of what I was alluding to with respect to Alabama against Georgia. But this is another, this is kind of a micro test of that same mentality. Is Georgia going to push the ball down the field and take risks that could lead to turnovers or lead to being behind downs? That's the question that they have to answer. And we'll find out a little bit of that this week. Are they going to continue to push the ball down the field? Or are they going to bottle it up and just, you know what, our quarterback's going to attempt 11 passes, and that's who we are, and that's what we do today, and that's how we live. So we'll see how that happens. Kentucky, for me, as a football team, they are – they're like a bully, and a bully that's like you shouldn't be worried about this bully because you're actually bigger than him.
Right.
But for some reason, he's got this ability to always be like – he's like mussing your hair and elbowing you and a jab to the ribs, and he's making fun of you for things that you didn't even know were problems. And like he that's what they're doing. And I love that about them because they are a really good football team. They're really fun to watch, at least fun to watch from my perspective, because I like teams that decide we're going to be physical, even if we don't have the best athletes, even if we don't have the biggest, the fastest. We're not Georgia. We're not Ohio State. But you know what we are? We're a problem. And we're a problem because we don't think that you want to be touched as much as we're going to touch you. And they put their hands, they put the paws on people all game, and we saw it against Florida. We saw it against LSU. They don't – those teams aren't prepared to respond to someone for, you know, 60 minutes leaning on them the entire game. I don't know if you ever played pickup basketball. I don't know how much pickup basketball you played, but they're like the guy that's kind of grabbing your jersey the whole time, yes, leaning on you the whole time. Especially, you know what they are? They're shirts for skins, and they're like always want to be skins, and they just sweat nonstop with a ton of chest hair. That's what Kentucky is.
I love it there. And if I was lazy at my job, I would find a way to make an Urban Meyer joke about unwanted touching. But what I will say to you is, it's such a perfect analogy, the shirts versus skins. But they're the person, because immediately I have a person from my high school football team 10 years ago that comes to mind who has crazy eyes. They're not the biggest. They're not the most physically imposing, but they've got the crazy eyes. And you're not going to mess with the crazy eyes person because they're going to take your head off. That's what Kentucky football is to me right now. Let's talk about physicality, though. Go ahead, Mike.
They're the offensive lineman that never washes his pad straps or his gloves, and you don't want him to touch you, but he's going to put his hands in your face.
I almost threw up on my microphone because I just had like PTSD with what that smells like. I remember that. It's very vividly buried in my head, in my skull, like an axe. Michael Felder of Stadium here with us on 104.5 The Zone, talking about college football. The weekend that was arguably the best college football weekend I've seen in my lifetime, and the weekend that is to come. So let's talk about the local team, Tennessee. They have Ole Miss. Ole Miss is, or Lane Kiffin at least, is already trolling them at great length in press conferences. What has surprised me in going back and watching some Ole Miss over the last couple of days, Mike, is that they're doing it on the ground. They were brutal. Yep. Against Arkansas on the ground, north of 300 rushing yards. They're averaging right now 228 a game. They are being physical at the line of scrimmage, and that's not something I think that people generalize Lane Kiffin's offense with.
Yeah, here's the thing people don't realize. When he was at FAU, they had two amazing running backs, right? They were so good at running the football. Like, very good at it. He likes to run the football. He just does it in a way that's not it doesn't square up with people viewing it as he's a guy that wants to run the football, because it doesn't look like it doesn't look like Iowa, or because it's not in 22 personnel, which, by the way, shout out to Iowa, down 10 with 21 minutes to go in the game, deciding we need to put two tight ends and two running backs in the game, and that's how we're going to win. That's how we come from behind.
Mike,
the way nobody else does.
Mike, I cover the Tennessee Titans for a living. I see the Titans do that every week with Derrick Henry. Don't tell me about Iowa.
But it's fantastic knowing who you are, and Lane Kiffin knows who he is. He's a guy that wants to run the football. Lane Kiffin, he runs the football to create magic moments in the passing game, right? So he runs the football, and they got Jaren Ealy, who's really, really good. And they run the football and they create all these bonus looks on the back end of it. So it's not just that they're physical up front, which they are. They are physical up front. But it's also the window dressing, right? This eye candy that he creates with the screen game, with the jet motion, with the orbit motion. He creates bad pictures for linebackers, bad pictures for safeties, and that leads to creases in the run game because guys aren't gap sound. And he'll lean into it the whole time, and then just when you think you've got him dialed in, oh, Matt Corral's going to go over the top for a 60-yard touchdown. Oops. I thought I had it dead to rights. They had run this a bunch of times, and they had handed it off. They ran this play six times, or a play that looked like this six times. And on the seventh time, instead of handing it to the running back, they decided to pull it and throw the ball over my head because I came down hard in the box. So he's really good at that. I think Lane Kiffin doesn't get enough credit of I don't know that he's the best situational play caller, but I do think that he is a remarkable he wastes your time. He wastes a lot of your time. He wastes a ton of time that you have to practice a bunch of motions and shifts, and you got to practice your adjustments to him. And that eats up a college football practice on things that he knows he's not going to call because he's got a bunch of other stuff that he wants to show you.
It's why Lane Kiffin has been so much fun to watch just throughout the course of his career. And Josh Heupel talked a little bit about situational football in his media availability this week. What have you made of Tennessee? Is two games against very, very inferior SEC opponents? I know South Carolina's got a little bit of juice on defense, Mike, but are two games of Josh Heupel at Tennessee enough to sell you like they've sold the fan base?
I was amazed. I was amazed, amazed in the Pitt game when they scored 34. I was like, where are these points coming from?
Yeah.
And then you get to the Dubs, the back-to-back wins that we just saw. And like, it's one thing to score 56 against Tennessee Tech, but then to put up 60 and 45 against Mizzou and South Carolina. And I know that they're not good. They're not very good football teams. But remember, this is a Tennessee team that in the last like 3 or 4 years, we've been like, how can they even score?
Yep.
So I think there's some positive showing from an offensive standpoint. They're figuring out who they are. Even with quarterback injuries and whatnot, they're figuring that part out too. So you got to be inspired. I'm inspired. I feel good about I don't feel great about them. But I do feel inspired. They still got to solve a bunch of problems on the offensive side, or excuse me, on the defensive side of things. But being able to put up a number like 60 or 40, like that's a good place to be in. That's it. And win or lose, I think for most football fans, that's a space they'd rather live in than if they were winning games 10-7 and then lost a game like 12-8 or something like that, you know?
Absolutely.
Mike, what's the first thing that comes to your head when I tell you the Vols, by the end of the first quarter against South Carolina, had scored 232 points on the season, more than the entirety of 2020, where they scored 215?
I hate Jeremy Pruitt is what it makes me think, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's some, but here's the other part. It's also a product of this using the transfer portal, right?
Yes.
And a product of, like, it's a, and also you get to see your head coach's focus. And the focus here for Heupel is I got to get this offense going. I got to get it cooking. And at least if we lose, we're going to lose with big numbers. And not because that loss is better. And I know I just referenced that fans do feel better about that type of a loss. But also because if we get more possessions, we have more of an opportunity to win, which is the complete opposite of the way Jeremy Pruitt looked at football, which was if we limit their possessions, then hopefully we have a chance to win. So it's very and as someone who went to UNC, it's very Roy Williams, right? Where he just thinks I've got enough good players that if I can have more possessions per game, then we'll win because we'll just make more shots than them.
Michael Felder Stadium is where you can find him. You can follow him at In the Bleachers for all of the great work that he's doing on the X's and O's of college football and whatever he's cooking on Saturdays and Sundays, because that alone is worth the time. Mike, thanks as always. It's fun to catch up and appreciate you making us smarter about the sport.
Thank you so much, man. Love coming on with you guys. You take it easy.
Makes me happy to have Michael Felder of Stadium join us every once in a while here on 104.5 The Zone. So the question becomes, Lucas asked Mike, is it still Alabama's sport to lose, basically? Do you feel that the balance of power in college football right now has been that dramatically shifted at all? You'll hear from Nick Saban coming up next. But I'm curious to hear, one, about the about just people's general thoughts about the sport. But we'll talk about that at greater length after we talk to Bryson Claiborne of Trousdale County, their running back, who had a fantastic game over the weekend against Gordonsville. He's this weekend's TN High School Hero of the Week.